Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Mem Dalet. There are a number of yard sites I was just given. Some of the days have passed already, so we'll mention their names. We're learning today, Lili Nishmas Zelig Boyarski, Zelig Ben Daniel, Morris Weinstock, Moshe Yaakov Ben Yosef, Dora Leibowitz, Devorah Bas Ben Sion Halevi, David Tuvia Kramer, Reb David Tuvia Ben Rabbi Yechiel Michal Halevi, and Margaret Stern, Miriam Bas Yisrael. All the neshamas we learn for should amit Hashem have aliyah from our learning. We begin 10 lines from the top, Mem Dalet Omud Aleph. Remind ourselves that in yesterday's shiur, at the end of the shiur, we dash in the pasuk, V'chol Odom Lo Yeh Bi Ohel Moed. The person is not allowed to be in the Ohel Moed at the time that the avod is being done. And we added on, we dash in the words, V'vo'el L'chaper B'kodesh Ad Say So. And then the end of the pasuk, which we didn't really discuss yesterday, we'll discuss a little bit now. The chiper ba'ado vi'ad beiso vi'ad kol kahal Yisrael. So this was the Kohen Gadol's objective on Yom Kippur, while he's doing the avodah, that nobody else is allowed to be there. We'll see exactly where they're not allowed to be. We discussed this a little bit yesterday as well. And during what activities they're not allowed to be there. And he does this to give a kapara for himself, for his family, for all the Kohanim, and for all of kahal Yisrael. So we begin 10 lines from the top, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Quoting, Omar Mar is always a re-quoting of something that we had previously. So Omar Mar, Ein li ela b'shas haktorah, that nobody is allowed to be inside the Heichal during the Shas haktorah. My mashma, how do we know that it's only during the Shas haktorah, or is it only during the Shas haktorah when he does the bringing of the Ketores, that nobody's is allowed to be in there? How do we know that? So Amar Rava tells us, Sochein Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, similar drasha was made by Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, and similarly, Vichein Amar Rabbi Elazar, they all said the same drasha. The pasuk tells us, Amar Kro, the end of that pasuk that we just read, the Chiper Ba'ado V'yad Beis V'yad Kol Kaha Yisrael. So this kapara is across the board. It's a kapara for him, for his family, for the Kohanim, and for all of Kaha Yisrael. So, Ezel Kapara, Sheshava Lo, Ule Beiso, Ule Echava Kohanim, Ule Kol Kaha Yisrael. What item or what thing provides a kapara for everybody? We had brought down that certain actions provide kapara for certain aspects of Klal Yisrael, for certain groups of people, but here this seems to imply a kapara for across the board. So what action, what event, what avoda provides such a kapara for all of Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara says, Hevi Omer, it must be Ze Haktoras Haktoras. This is the bringing of the Ketores. That provides a kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. Now the Gersa that we have is going to question this, Uchtores Mechaperes, the Gersa of the Bach is similar. He says, Uchtores Mimechapra. Is this really true? Does the Ketores provide such a universal kapara? And Mor says, yeah, it does, in. The Ha Toni Rabbi Chananya learned the following, Braisa. Lo Madu La Ketores Shemechaperes. We know that the Ketores is Mechaperes. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says so, Shinemar. Vayitin Es Haktores Vayechaper Al On. We know that there was a plague right after Korach's Mered against Moshe Rabbeinu, so there was a plague that broke out, and that's because the followers of Korach said, hey, you Moshe Rabbeinu, you Aaron, you caused a lot of people to die. Hatem Amisem Esam Hashem. So they said this Lashon Hara, and because of this Lashon Hara, so a plague broke out, and many people in Klal Yisrael were killed. So Aaron HaKohen was instructed to bring the Ketores, Vayitenes HaKetores Vayechaper Al Ha'am. The bringing of the Ketores provided a kapara for all the people. The time of Rabbi Shmuel, learn the base medish Rabbi Shmuel, al meha ketores mechaperes, what exactly does the ketores come to me mechaper on? So al loshen hara, it was on this loshen hara that they accused Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron of atem amisim es am Hashem, that you caused the destruction, as Rashi points out, that siv atem amisim es am Hashem, ustam loshen hara b'chashayu, and this was done privately, although they did say it publicly. So normally, stam loshen hara is privately, so it makes very good sense that the ketores, which is done privately, should be mechaper for it. So therefore, the Gemara says, al meha ketores mechaperes. What does the Ketores come to be mechaper for? Alosh and Hara. Because Yovo Dova Shebechashoi, Bechaper Al Maise Chashoi. That normally Lashon Hara is done privately, and the Ketores was done privately. Nobody else was allowed to be there. Holodom Lo Yeb Yom Away. So therefore, it was a private service. And therefore, it makes sense that this private service should atone for a private type of a sin. Lashon Hara is normally done, psst, you hear what so and so did, you see what so and so did. So it's normally done Bechashoi. And therefore, the Ketores, which is done Bechashoi, will go and be mechapa for it. Now, we learned in the Mishnah Kelim, Tanan Hosom, Porshin mibein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach b'shas haktorah. So in addition to nobody being allowed to be in the heichal itself, it says that likewise people were not allowed to be between the mizbeach and the ulam, what we call it bein ulam l'mizbeach area, those distances that you had to walk as you went more west from the mizbeach to the ulam. There were three series of steps there with platforms in between them, as we pointed out. And in that area, known as the Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, you weren't allowed to stand there. Nobody was allowed to be there as well during the time of the Haktoras, Haktores. Porshim Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach B'Shas Haktorah. Now, that is what the Mishnah in Kalim tells us. On this, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, Lo Shanu, this Mishnah is only telling us, Ela B'Shas Haktorah Dehecho. This is only talking about the regular Haktorah that was brought every day by the Korban Tomei Shel Shachris and by the Korban Tomei Shel Bein Arbayim, as we've spoken out many times. However, Al Bishas Haktorah DeLifnai VeLifnim, but this third and special Haktoras that was done on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol, Lifnai VeLifnim, inside the Holy of Holies, so there, nobody was allowed to come into the Hechel Parshi, so nobody else could be in the Hechel. However, in the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, they were allowed to be there. Mibein Ulam and the Mizbeach, lo Parshi. You didn't have to go and leave that area. Basically, you can view it in the following manner, that we're concerned, as the Gemara will say later on, that people may forget themselves and go into the area where they're not allowed to go. So in the immediate area, you're not allowed to be present. But in the area that's two areas away, you're allowed to be present. So when the avodah is going on in the heichal itself, so then you can't be in the immediate area preceding it, which is the bein ulam l'mizbeach. But when the avodah haktoras on Yom Kippur is done l'fnai v'lefnim, so the immediate area preceding it is the heichal. So you can't be in the heichal. But in the two areas preceding it, the bein ulam l'mizbeach, we're not concerned that you're going to forget yourself and go from ulam l'mizbeach to the heichal, and then from the heichal into l'fnai v'lefnim. So therefore, it wasn't necessary to separate from the area that's two areas before the area where the avodah is being done. So this is what Rabbi Elazar said in explaining the Mishnah in Kalim. When it said, Parshim Mibein Ha'ulam L'Mizbeach B'Shas Haktorah, so Rabbi Elazar said this is only of the regular daily Haktoras Haktoras, but not needed to remove yourself from the area of Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach for the Haktorah of the Lifnai V'Lifnim Haktoras Haktoras on Yom Kippur. Masav Rav Adi Bar Rava, Rav Adi Bar Rava questions this and he says, others say it wasn't Rav Adi Bar Rava, it was Amrilo Kedi. Who was Kedi? So there is one opinion that's brought down that Kedi was the name of a Talmud Chacham. Rashi brings this pshat himself down in Erechim. However, Rashi elsewhere disagrees himself with that, and some suggest that was a printer's error, and most translators understand that Amrilo Kedi was said by somebody else without knowing specifically who it was. Yet someone else said it. In any event, it was either Rav Adi Bar Rava or Kedi. Someone else or a Talmud Chacham by the name of Kedi. The following. The Braisa tells us, Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi says in the Spraisa, Kishem She Porshin Mibein Ulam L'Mizbeach B'Shas Haktorah, just like you can't be in the area between the Ulam and L'Mizbeach during the Haktoras Haktores, so too, Kach Porshin B'Shas Matan Par Kohen Moshiach U'Par Helam Dovish Otzibor U'Siri Avodas Kochobin. You're not allowed to also be in that area of Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach when these, what are called the Chatos HaPnimios, are brought. Now these are brought for various sins that either the Kohen Gadol does, if he sins based upon his own incorrect pshat, so he has to bring a special par known as the Par Kohen Moshiach. If you have the entire tzibur sinning because they follow the instructions of the Beis Din, so they bring a Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, or if they do it with Avodah Zarah, Rachmana Litzlan, under the guidance of the Sanhedrin, they somehow made a mistake, then they bring what we call the Siri Avodah Kochavim. And these are all inner chatos. They have applications of the blood to the inner Mizbeach. None of the meat is ever put on the inner Mizbeach. We mentioned this many times. The only things that ever go on the inner Mizbeach are the chatos penimius blood, which includes also the power of Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol, and the Sar Lashem of Yom Kippur. And Tosos over here points out that they could have included this in these of these chatos pnimos that are mentioned over here, but since there is also activity that's done lifnai v'lifnim with them, and then you don't have to leave the area of the bein ulam mizbeach when the lifnai v'lifnim part is done, that's why they weren't mentioned over here. In any event, Rav Yossi tells us that when the blood applications, the dam of these three chatos pnimos was brought as well, so then you had to go and be porshim mibein ulam mizbeach during not only the Shas of the Haktorah, but also during the time that the blood of these Chatos Pnimius was brought. This is the ratio of the Braisa. Now, the Sefer of the Braisa says, So then what difference is there between the Heichal, which you have to leave at various times, and the Bein Ulam HaMizbeach area, which you have to leave at different times? So what's the Maila, if you wish? What additional stringencies does the Heichal have versus the Bein Ulam HaMizbeach area? Ella, the Braisa tells us, Shebeheichal, in regards to the Heichal, Parshin Bein Bishas HaKtara, you have to go and leave that area at all times, when they're doing the Haktaras Haktaras, but even when they're not doing the Haktaras Haktaras. Now, what does that mean, when they're not doing the Haktaras Haktaras? That seems to imply that you can't stay there when any of the blood services are done as well, during the time of the Matan Damim, of the various Katos Pnimios. However, Umibein Ha'ulam LaMizbeach, but the difference between the Heichal and the Ulam LaMizbeach is that the Bein Ulam LaMizbeach in portion El B'Shas HaKtorah, that you only can't be there during the Shas of the HaKtorah of the Haktores, implying that you can be there during the HaKtorah of the Dam. Now, the Gemara says, B'Shas HaKtorah Mi Parshi, what comes out from this Sefer of the Braisa is that during the HaKtorah, you do have to go and separate, you're not allowed to go and be Bein Ulam LaMizbeach. Now, my la b'shas haktorah d'lefnai v'lefnim. This seems to imply that it's talking about the haktorah not only of the heichal but even of the lefnai v'lefnim, and that's a kasha on the way Rebbe Elazar understood the Mishnah in Kalim. That's the bottom line question from this brisa, because this brisa seems to be understanding that you're not allowed to be in the bein ulam l'mizbeach even during the haktorah of the haktores lefnai v'lefnim. So Mor says no, that's a misunderstanding. Lo. B'shas HaKtorah DeHeichel. The Bryce is telling us during the Shah that the burning the HaKtorah in the Heichel, the regular Ktoris that's brought every morning for the Korban Tavishol Shachris and Korban Tavishol Bein Arbayim, that's when you're not allowed to be Bein Ulam HaMizbeach. But Rebbe Elazar is right in explaining the Mishnah and Kalim that when they're doing the Lefnai V'Lefnim, you're only not allowed to be in the Heichel, but you would be allowed to be Bein Ulam HaMizbeach. Now, if this is correct, we got another problem. Ihachi. So then, in the Sefer, the Bryce, we said, Ho ma ma'ala yesh bein ha'echel v'ein ulam v'mizbeach. So then, what is the ma'ala? It said in the Sefer, the Bryce, Ela shebehechel porshin bein b'shas ha'ktorah, bein shlo b'shas ha'ktorah, u'bein ulam v'mizbeach, ein porshin el b'shas ha'ktorah. That seems to imply, v'sulo, that there's nothing else between them. That's the only difference. But ha'ika ha'ma'ala, there's another ma'ala. Because, based upon what we just explained, Dilu mehechol, you're not allowed to be in the hechol, not only during the time of the haktoras lefnai v'lefnim, partially bein mishas haktoras the day, or bein mishas haktoras lefnai v'lefnim, you're not allowed to be there at all for any haktorah, certainly not the haktorah of lefnai v'lefnim, nor the haktorah of the hechol itself, but the ilu bein ulam l'mizbeach, lo partially mishas haktorah the hechol. You're only not allowed to be there during the time of the haktoras hechol. But you could be there during the time of the Haktoras Lefnai V'Lefnim. Why didn't the Braisa specifically mention this? This is the way to learn it. This should have been mentioned specifically when it said, what's the Maila between the Heichal versus the Ulam L'Mizbeach? Shmuel says, you're right. Let's revisit the entire discussion. I know it's a little bit complicated. Let's revisit the discussion. Hak Tani, this is what the Braisa is really telling us. The difference between the Heichal and the Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach is as follows. Ela Sheva Heichal, when you're not allowed to be in the Heichal, portion, you have to leave the Heichal Bein Bishas HaKtorah when they're doing the HaKtorah, or Ubein Shalom Bishas HaKtorah, or when they're not doing the HaKtorah. But what does that mean? You're not allowed to be in the Heichal at any point in time that they're doing the HaKtorah, either in the Heichal or in the Lefnai Lefnim. When it says Bein Shas HaKtorah Ubein Shalom Bishas HaKtorah, it means the HaKtorah Lefnai Lefnim. As opposed to Umbein Ulam L'Mizbeach, you're only not allowed to be there in portion. We turn to Memdalud Amud Beis. El B'Shas HaKtorah, and this means B'Shas HaKtorah of the Heichal. But it has nothing to do with whether the Korbanos, the Matan Damim of the Chatos Pnimios, or of the Yom Kippur service is being performed. This is dealing just with the Ktores. So we're not dealing at all with the Matan Damim. We're just making a statement here and saying that the Heichal is not allowed to be anybody present there any time Ketores is brought, both Lefnai V'Lefnim and in the Heichal itself, whereas Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach is only not allowed to have anybody there when they're doing the Haktoras Haktoras in the Heichal, but one is allowed to be Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach when they're doing the Haktoras Haktoras Lefnai V'Lefnim. But we're not dealing at all with a matan damim like we originally thought. Now, the Gemara is now going to question, what about the matan damim? The same rules seem to apply there as well. Anything done in the Heichal, you're not let it be in the Beinulam and Mizbeach area also. And anything done lifnai v'lifnim, you're just not let it be in the Heichal, but the 2 steps prior, i.e. in the Beinulam and Mizbeach area, you are allowed to be in. So why don't we mention that? When we're saying over here in the Sefer, the Braisa, what's the mile of the Heichal over the Ulam and Mizbeach, instead of just mentioning about the Ketores being the difference, that the Beinulam and Mizbeach is only, must be empty, must be nobody there, only when the Ketores in the Heichal is going on, but you are allowed to be in the Beinulam and Mizbeach when the Ketores Lefnai V'Lefnim is brought, as opposed to in the Heichal, you're never allowed to be there when either of the Ketores is brought, the same din applies to the Matan Damim. So that's what the Gemara now asks. Va'ika ha-maila, you have the same exact maila with the blood. Dilu be-Heichal, in regards to the Heichal, parshe ben biktusha di-dei, ben biktusha de-Lefnai V'Lefnim, you're not allowed to be in the Heichal for the 3 chatos pnimios, the Kohen Parkosh Moshiach, the Siri Avodah Zarah, and the Parayim Dovashel Tzibur. Those have applications on the Inam Mizbeach. So you're not allowed to be in the Heichal then, and you're not allowed to be Bein Ulam Mizbeach then. So that's only for the chatos pnimios that are in the Heichal. But the Lefnai V'Lefnim applications of the Par of Yom Kippur and of the Sar Lashem, so you can't be in the Heichal for that, but you can be Bein Ulam Mizbeach. And that's what the Gemara says. Why don't we mention that? You're not allowed to be in the Heichal for any Matan Damim for the 3 chatos pnimios, as well as the 2 for Yom Kippur, the Par of the Kohen Gadol, and the Tzar Lashem. You're not allowed to be in the Heichal for any of them. As opposed to Rilu Bein Ulam Mizbeach, Lo Parshi Elo B'Kedusha the Heichal, for the 3 chatos pnimios, there you're not allowed to be Bein Ulam Mizbeach when their blood applications are done on the Inam Mizbeach. But you are allowed to be Bein Ulam Mizbeach when the 2 Yom Kippur services are done, Lifnai V'Lifnim. So why doesn't the Braisa mention that as well? On the Rava, it essentially does. Rava says, yeah, shame, pre-shachasi. It's all one and the same. Once you teach me the din by the Ketores, so the same din applies by the Matan Damin. Again, one can look at it as that we're concerned, as the Gemara will say, that you may go in your excitement and zeal into the area you're not allowed to go to. So if it's the area that's right in front where the avoda is, that area that's right in front, you can't go into. But if it's an area that's 2 areas away, there we're not concerned. We don't have to make a gezeira. So again, one last time, both for the matan damim and for the aktores aktores, you're not allowed to be in the heichal for any of those because it's either heichal didei or it's the next innermost chamber, Lefnai V'Lefnim, and we're concerned that you may, in your zeal, go in there. So that's why, during the time of the Haktoris Haktoris, of either of the Haktoris Haktoris, or the time of the Matan Damim of any of the 5 Chatos Pnimios, the 3 that are only in the Heichal, as well as the 2 that are in the Heichal, as well as Lefnai V'Lefnim on Yom Kippur, so you're not allowed to be in the Heichal for any of them. But in the Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach area, you're only not allowed to go over there for the things that are done in the Heichal itself, the Haktoris Haktoris of the Heichal, and the Chatos Pnimios that are only done in the Heichal. But you are allowed to go Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach for when the Haktoris Haktoris is done Lifnai V'Lifnim, or when there's Matan Damim that's done Lifnai V'Lifnim. So that's the answer that we give, and that's how we understand this price. Now the Gemara says, in the Reish of the Brais, so Amamar, we said over there, Kach Porsche Bishas Matan Par Kohen Moshiach, Parayim Dovashel Tzibur, Usi Rabot Eskochav, and we said that those are done in the Heichal, so you have to separate yourself, not only in the Heichal, but you weren't allowed to be Bein Ulam Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Ninolan, how do we know this? Why do we see that you're not allowed to be there during this period of time? Amar Rapidos, Rapidos says, Asya Kapara, Kapara, Yom Kippurim. We learn this out as Gezer Shabbat from Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to be Lo Yavo Odom Be'ol Moed. Nobody's allowed to be in the Ol Moed during the Yom Kippur services, and he uses the term Kapara there, and so too it uses the term Kapara over here for these 3 chatos penibios, and therefore through this Gezer Shabbat of Kapara, Kapara, that teaches us the same din. We find in the Psukim the word Kapara by all 3 of the chatos penibios, and therefore that teaches us this Gezer Shabbat. Based on everything that we just said, Amar Rav, the Girsa that we have is Rav Acha Bar Abba, but it really should be Rav Ado Bar Abba, and he says the following: Shma Mina, you see from what we just learned, Malos Daraisa, that there are different levels of Kedusha on a Daraisa level as well, and we learned this out. Rashi explains that this is talking about the various 10 regions of Kedusha that the Mishnah, the first parak in Kalim, Mishnah Ches, tells us, Rashi points out, the Kamar Hosam, it says over there, Harabayis, Mekudush, Mirushalayim. The Harabayis is more Kedusha than Yerushalayim. The Achil is more Kedusha than the Harabayis. The Ezra's Noshim has more Kedusha than Achil. The Ezra's Yisrael has more Kedusha from the Ezra's Noshim. And the Ezra's Kohanim has more Kedusha than the Ezra's Yisrael. The Bein Ulam Lemizbeach has more Kedusha than the rest of the Azara. And the Hechel has more Kedusha than Bein Ulam Lemizbeach. And all of this is a Din Daraisa, which he says is Halacha Moshmi Sinai. And this is how we learn it out. Halacha Gemirlu, Hilkach Liyin Prisha. And therefore we learn it out. We see a practical application of this in terms of where you'll have to stand at different points in time. And Rav Abba Bar Abba continues, and he says, "The Yisok Adayat of the Rabbanim, if you're going to tell me that this is not a Halacha L'moshe Misinai, this is not a Din D'Raisa, if you're telling me that it's only a Din D'Rabbanim, so then, Maishno Beinu Ulam L'Mizbeach, why would we differentiate between the area of Beinu Ulam L'Mizbeach, Dilma Mikru V'Aile, because you're saying people might be in their zeal and their excitement, go into the wrong place, they go into the Hechol, so then, why would you differentiate Beinu Ulam L'Mizbeach, Mikul Azara, Nami Nifreshu, then you shouldn't allow anybody to be anywhere in the Azara, Dilma Mikru V'Aile. Why is it more likely necessarily that you're going to go from the Ulam Mizbeach area into the Hechol if you're standing in another part of the Azara and you see the excitement going on in the Hechol? You could go in there as well. So why was it only Bein Ulam Mizbeach that you're not allowed to be? Oh, if you say it's on a Daraisa level, the Kedushas are different, so then we understand it. But if you're saying it's on a Darabanan level, so then why would the Chachamim only be Gozer Bein Ulam Mizbeach and not be Gozer for the entire Azara? That's the question, or that's the point that Rav Abba Bar Abba is making. It must be that this is a Din D'Oraisa, because if it was only a Din D'Rabbanan, it doesn't make sense. So where it says, no, not necessarily so. Beino Ulam L'Mizbeach, one could argue that even on the D'Rabbanan level, between the Ulam L'Mizbeach, Kivin Lo Mafsik Midi, you had nothing separating you from going into the Hechol. You're right there. You go up a couple of steps, and boom, you're right inside. And if you see the excitement going on in there, so you could forget yourself. And given the low mafsik mean that there's nothing separating you from going inside, low mimkra milsa, you're not going to realize it, and all of a sudden you're going to be inside. As opposed to the Azara, given the ikum is beyach, hachitz on the mafsik, if you're out elsewhere in the Azara, you got the mizbeach in the middle of the Azara that's separating you, and as you go towards the Hechol, you say, hey, there's a mizbeach here, oh, I'm not allowed to go further. Mimkra milsa will remind you that this is a different area. So no, even on a Durabana level, one can make a distinction between the Bein Ulam Mizbeach and the rest of the Azara. So there's no raya to what Rav Abba Bar Abba wants to tell us, that the Mishnah in Kalim must be on a Daraisa level. These different regions of the Beis HaMikdash have a different Kedusha, but it could be on a Durabana level. Lav Dafka, you bring me a raya from here that it's on a Halokh L'Moshe Misinai basis. Mark Antinian says, Amar Rava. Rava tells us, Shema Mina. Another thing that we can learn from this discussion is Kedushas Ulam Vehechol Chod Milsi. Rava wants to suggest that the Kedusha of the Hechol and the Kedusha of the Ulam are the same level of Kedusha. We don't differentiate between the Kedusha of the Ulam, which is the antechamber going into the Hechol. It's wider. It's 100 amos in its width, going from the north to south orientation. And the Hechol was only 70 amos going in the north to south orientation. So it was an antechamber, and it was 30 amma, 15 to the left, 15 amma to the right, 15 to the south, 15 amma to the north of the Hechol. It was wider. But we see from here, Rava says that there's no difference in Kedusha between the Hechol's Kedusha and the Ulam's Kedusha. Because these Sokodaitoch Shtei Kedushas Ninu, if you wanted to tell me that there is a difference in the Kedusha between the Hechol and the Ulam, so then why do you tell me that you have to make a gezera for Bein Ulam and Mizbeach? These are kedaitach shtei kedushas. The Hechol and the Ulam are two separate kedushos. So then Ulam gufei gezera. So then the Ulam would be the one. Don't go into the Ulam when something is going on in the Hechol. That's the one area beforehand. And then if you're telling me you also can't go Bein Ulam and Mizbeach, that would be a second gezera if there's all the rabbanim. The nekum and igzak gezera l'gezera. Would we therefore then make a gezera l'gezera? So obviously, the Hechol and the Ulam must have the same Kedusha, and therefore, the one area before that is the Bein Ulam and Mizbeach area, Rava tells us, and that's why it has a different law. Mor says, not necessarily so. No. In fact, maybe the Bein Ulam and Mizbeach and the Ulam are the same Kedusha, and the Ulam and the Hechol are different Kedusha. And Mor says, lo. Ulam, Ubeinu Ulam and Mizbeach, Chad Kedusha. In fact, the Ulam and the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, that is one Kedusha. But the Hechol, the Ulam, Shtei Kedushas, they're actually two separate Kedushos, so you can't bring me any Raya like Rava wanted to say. That concludes this somewhat complicated drashas of Psukim, and now we go vayta by quoting the Mishnah. B'chol yom hoya chosev b'shel kesev b'chulei. We say every day the kohen who would be doing the haktoris would go get the coals from the mizbeach, and he would go and scoop them up with a shovel that was made out of silver, and then he would transfer these coals into a shovel that was made out of gold. My timer, what was the reason for using two different shovels? Why not just use the same one, like we do on Yom HaKippurim? We just use the gold shovel. Why take a silver shovel to go get the coals and then pour from the silver shovel into the gold shovel? Shmuel says, HaTorah Chos HaMamon HaShel Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned with our money, and if you use a gold shovel on the Mizbeach, it's going to get ruined. And therefore, they're going to have to purchase another one, then have to purchase another one, where silver won't get ruined as quickly, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was concerned that we shouldn't have to waste our money on a gold shovel to scoop up all the coals over here, and instead we could use a silver one, which will last longer and isn't as expensive, and then transfer it to the gold, and it won't be ruined. As Rashi points out, by using the silver shovel, it gets worn out a little bit. So if it's only silver, you need to use another one. But if it was gold, it would be a big deal if you constantly have to get a new gold shovel. Then we quote the Mishnah again. It says, today on Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, you can use a gold shovel directly. On Yom Kippur, and we allow you to go and scoop up the coals with the golden shovel and use that shovel to bring it lifnai v'lifnim. My time up. Why? Someone says, Mishum Chulosh, the Kohen Gadol. Again, you have one Kohen Gadol doing all the avodah on Yom Kippur. And again, he probably was invariably a more senior person, an older person, and possibly somewhat more frail. So therefore, Mishum Chulosh, the Kohen Gadol, we wanted to make the avodah of Yom Kippur as easy as possible for the one day to use the golden shovel to go and scoop up the coals. Nishkefel, it's not going to really ruin it. Then we quote the Mishnah again. It says, we had a couple of different opinions. We said that the Mishnah said that every day they used a silver shovel that could contain four kavim, and they poured it into the gold shovel that could contain three kavim. But then we have Rabbi Yossi that said that every day they used a silver shovel, they had a saw, which is six kavim, and they poured that into the golden shovel that could contain three kavim. That's what the Bechulei is. So Gemara says, Tana, we learned in the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Tomid, where it tells us, Nispazru lo kav gecholim mechabdon la'ama. The coals that were extra, right? Again, everybody said you either took four and you turned it into three, or you took six and you turned it into three. So any extra coals that were spilling out, they would go and sweep them mechabdon la'ama. They would go and sweep them into the ama, the one ama wide stream that ran through the Azara. The Gemara says, we have another brisa that says, Toni Chadokav. We have one brisa that says that there was one extra kav, and that would be very good. Makes sense. If you started off with four and you went to three, there's one extra kav. But then we had another brisa, the Tanya Idach Kabayim, that there were two extra kav. So when you started off with a silver shovel and then you went to the gold shovel, according to this other brisa, there were two extra kavs. So that doesn't make any sense. Why? Bishlama Hachdu Toni Kav. The one opinion that says that there was an extra kav, that's the opinion of the Rabbanan. That's the first opinion that we had in the Mishnah, B'chol Yom Shel Arba, and on Yom Kippur they used the regular golden shovel of three, but they started off every regular day with a silver shovel of four, and it poured it into the golden shovel of three. So that's how you could have one kav that became extra and had to be swept into the Amah. That's B'shlomo, Hach to Tani Kav, that's the Rabbanan. Ella, Hach to Tani Kabayim, money. But the Brisa that says that there were two extra kav, whose opinion is that? It's not the Tanakhama, it's not the Chacham. They said there's only one extra kav. But it's also not Rav Yossi. Lo Rabban, it's not the Rabban, the Lo Rav Yossi. Because Rav Yossi said you started off with six kavim. You started off with a saw, which is six kavim, and you poured it in from six into three. So you should have three kavim. So how does this Brisa say that you have two kavim? So we have two teruts. First one is Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochanan ben Brokahi. There's a third opinion that's not mentioned in our Mishnah. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochanan Broka. And he holds the Tanya. He says in the Braisa, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher of Yochanan Broka, Omer, Bishal Kabayim Hoyamachnis. He said that they didn't enter into the Hechel with a three-kav shovel. They only entered with a two-kav golden shovel. Ah, so if you start off with a four-kav, and now you pour the four-kav that you collected in the silver shovel into a golden kav that only had two kav, not three kav, so then there's two that are left over. So this brisa goes in accord with the opinion, Rishwa Benosha Yochanan Broka, how you can have two kav that were extra and left over and fell on the floor that have to be swept into the Amah. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Ashi Amar, no, Afilu Tamer Rav Yossi. We could actually say that this is Rav Yossi. There are only two opinions. We have the opinion of the Chacham and the Tanakama, start off with a shovel of four, and the opinion of Rav Yossi, you start off with a shovel of six kavan. So how do you get from six, pouring it into three, that you're going to have two kavan left over? You should have three kavan left over. So Gemara says, no. Afilu Tamer Rav Yossi, v'hochi kama. This is what Rav Yossi is telling us. V'chol yom ha'yachose, v'shel saw midboris, we're changing around the measuring system. You start off every day with a silver shovel that has six kavin, a saw, but a saw midbarios. Now, we know that we changed the time. We had the Yerushalmi saw, we had the midbar saw, we had different types of saw. There were three different times that they had a different size saw. The saw changed in size over time. So, when the Mishnah says, according to Rav Yossi, they started off with a six kav, a saw, in the silver shovel, that was dealing with the saw midborios, which is only five of the Yerushalmi kavim. There's six kavim in the saw midborios, according to midborios counting system, but only five, same amount in terms of total, but it was called five kavim if you use the Yerushalmi. So that's what Rav Yossi says. I said six saw using the midborios. And when the Braisa says that you have two left over, so therefore, you're going from five Yerushalmis, which was six Midbarios, but you're really going from five Yerushalmis to three Yerushalmis, and that's why you have two left over, and everything works out. Well, according to Rav Ashi, according to this understanding of Rav Yossi. Finally, we quote the Mishnah again. It says, every day they use the heavy shovel, because again, it's a younger Kohen, he's doing one avoda, big deal, it's a little bit difficult. But on Yom Kippur, we use the lighter one. So what does that mean, a heavier one, a lighter one? So Tana, b'chol yom ha'isa gilda ova. Every day, it's gilda. Rashi explains that means dofana. Its sides were over, were thick. And therefore, l'kach ha'isa kveda. And that's why it was heavier. And that's what it means, that every day they use the heavier shovel. Vayom kala, that means over here, Vayom Rach, today he used a thinner one. Rashi says Rach means Dak, a thinner one. So it didn't have the same substance to it, and therefore it could contain the same amount, but it was a lighter material. Then we quote the Mishnah again, and the Mishnah says, B'chol Yom Ha'isa Kitzara Vayom Aruch, every day they used a short one, because even though you have to do all the lifting, therefore with your hands, big deal. But today they used a longer one. Why? My time out. Why the longer one? And this explains the same thing. Why the heavier one? Why the lighter one? Again, because of the chush of the Kohen Gadol, and we want to make things as easy as possible for him. So therefore, we use the longer one. Kadeshi is Zroa Shel Kohen Gadol Masayoto. He can go, if it has a long handle, so he can use, put it underneath his arm, and use his body, so to say, to help him lift it up and rest it on it, so he's not doing all the work just with his hands. Similarly, the Braisa says, Tana, b'chol yom lo hayalo ni ashtik. B'yom hayalo ni ashtik. Divrei ben haskan. This statement that every day it didn't have any ashtik, we'll explain in a moment what that is, and on Yom Kippur it had any ashtik, was set over by the ben haskan. Who is the ben haskan? Before we get to what he said, so some suggest that this refers to Rabbi Shimon, who was the son of the Skan Kohen Gadol. In fact, his father was Rabbi Hanina Skan HaKohanim, who we mentioned in other places. So that's who this Ben HaSkan is referring to. Nu, what did he say? So he said that every day they did not have a niyashtik. Rashi explains niyashtik is tabas berosha, some sort of a ring on the shovel. Shemishkashkesh umashmiya kol mishum v'nishma kolo bevo el hakodesh. So normally the Kohen Gadol, he's wearing his eight garments, and they have Pamon, Virimon, they have all sorts of bells on them. So whenever the Kohen Gadol enters any place, the bells make sounds. And you're not allowed to go into the Kodesh. Nishma Kolo Bevo El Kodesh. You have to have noise when you go in. Now today, the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is wearing only the four linen garments, and therefore the white garments, and they don't have Pamon, Virimon, and they're not going to be Mitzalzel. So therefore, in order to have a noise made when he went in, that they put a ring onto the shovel. So that's why, Vayom Hoya Allah, Niashtik. They had some sort of a clanging ring on it that made a noise instead of the normal big day kahuna, the eight big day kahuna that the Kohen Gadol wore that had the pamon, the rimon, and was mitzaltzel. And that's why on a regular day they didn't need it. Therefore, on a regular day, loyal on Niashtik. But on Yom Kippur, they added on this Niashtik, so Nishma Kolo Bevo El HaKodesh. That's Rashi's understanding. Others have a different understanding. Others say that the Niashtik You can see this is the Rebbeinu Hanan over here, means some sort of a cover, because the coals would be left out. And therefore, Rebbeinu Hanan says, Niyashtik means kisui. And this way the coals would stay hot. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to do their function of burning the Ketores. Tosus brings out a third pshat. In the Tosus Dibur Masa B'chol Yom, he brings out Venir L'Riva, Kein Nartik Shel Or. It was some sort of like a leather covering. Hayosui Soviv Yoda Shel Machta. It was like some sort of a protection, some sort of an insulation that was around the handle. Lechos Ba Shelo Yechave Mishum the Kol Kli Matris Cham Mitzoso Cham Kulo. Because if it's a metal implement and it has hot coals in it, so quickly the handle is going to get hot as well. So they had some sort of an insulation, this niashtik, around the handle. And here they needed a bigger one because they had a bigger handle. And here the coals stayed there a long time, so it really would heat up the entire handle. Actually, and therefore he needed this special leather insulation around it. He would later on have to carry this, and therefore they have to insulate it. He brings that from the Yerushalmi. This is not considered chatzitza, and he says that it was attached, b'mismar, it was literally attached with some sort of a peg, some sort of nails, and therefore was nikba osa nartik lebeis yad, and therefore was bottled to it, and it's not considered a chatzitza. It's considered part of the guf of the kli. So these are the three understandings that we have over here on our daf of what this niyashtik was. Then we quote the Mishnah again, b'chol yom haya zahav yarok, every day it was made out of yellow gold, but it was made out of red gold on Yom Kippur. Now, Amar Rechista, Rechista tells us, we'll see this is a machlokis, Rechista tells us there's seven, we'll see another opinion says there are only five types of gold. Rechista says there's seven types of gold. Amar Rechista, Shiva Zahavanheim, there's seven types of gold. We'll explain them all in a moment. We'll just read them first. You have Zahav, plain gold, regular gold. Zahav Tov, good gold. Zahav Ophir, Zahav gold that comes from a place called Ophir. Zahav Mupaz, we'll see a certain type of gold that is called Mupaz. And then you have Zahav Shochut, and you have Zahav Sogur, and you have Zahav Parvim. We'll explain all of these in a moment. Now we just read them. So Chista starts and tells us Zahav, Zahav Tov, Tilchsip. The first two, the regular gold and the good gold, that's based upon the Pasuk. Pasuk in Bereishis, where it tells us Uzahav Oretz Hahi Tov, and the gold of this land was considered good. Now this implies that there was good gold and there was regular gold. So that's two. What is Zahav Ophir? The Asim Ophir comes from a country called Ophir. What is Zahav Mupaz? It's very, very shiny gold. So we turn to Memhei Yomer Aleph. Shedome LePaz. Paz is a certain type of margolius, a certain type of a pearl or a gem, and it's very, very shiny. So this gold was very, very shiny. Next one is Zohav Shachut. What is that? So, Shenitve Kechut. Zohav Shachut means it could be spun. Shachut here doesn't mean shechted, it means it could be spun, it can be weaved. Shenitve Kechut. As Rashi says, Neshurach is very, very malleable, very soft type of a gold, and therefore it could be spun. Zohav Sogur, what does that mean? It means when this gold is around, nobody else can do any business. This is the best gold. Bishar Sheniftach, if somebody is selling this Zov Sogur, Kolachonios Niskoros. Well, the other gold shops have to close up because who would ever buy any of the other gold if they could get this gold? Finally, Zahav Parbim, what is that gold? Shadoma Ladama Parim. This is the red gold that we talked to, and its appearance was similar to the blood of the Parim. That's the opinion of Rav Chisda, that there's seven types of gold. Rav Ashi Amar Chamisha, there's only five types of gold, and they're all really subcategories of the first two. V'kol chad v'chad is bezov v'zov tov. So he agrees with Rav Chisda that there are five types of gold besides the regular gold and the good gold. And those other five, these Chamisha, v'kol chad v'chad, however, each of them is bezov v'zov tov. They also have inside them zov and zov tov, so there is no separate zov and zov tov. These five that Rav Chisda mentioned after the zov and the zov tov, according to Rav Ashi, it's only five altogether. Okay. In any event, finally, we conclude today's shir, Tanina Mihachi, where the Bryce says the same thing, Choyom Hoyo Zahava Yorok. Every day they use this, again, Yorok, we said it could mean many different things. Here it means a yellow type of a gold, Vayom Edom. Today they use a red type of a gold, this Zahav that we said is Parvim, behind Zahav Parvim. And the Bryce says, Beferish, this is the Zahav Parvim, Shedom Eladama Parim. Its color, its red gold color, was like the blood of the Parim. Again, it makes sense that we should have a symbol for the Parim today on Yom Kippur. With this, we conclude today's shiur.